Discover the wisdom and deep meaning from the everyday experience of your life journey. Welcome to Earth Walkways with your host, Darlene Rollins. Earth Walkways will help you love your life as it is and discover the hidden meanings and messages in everything that unfolds. So please welcome the host of Earth Walkways, Darlene Rollins.
Welcome to Earth Walkways. I'm your host, Darlene Rollins, and we're coming to you from BBM Global Network. So today I have a special guest with me. I want you to welcome Reverend Barbara Azara. And so I have known of Barbara for many years, as her name would come up often in my early pathwork training groups. And she would often be associated with another spirit being besides the guide, a being that was coming through a friend of hers named Emmanuel, or the spirit was named Emmanuel coming through a friend of hers named Pat Rodegast. And then I also heard of her in some trainings I was in with Barbara Brennan, who also started in the pathwork and then opened her own channel and began her own healing school. So, you know, these were women, some of the first that I knew to walk this path and kind of open the way for me. And I came along about 10 years later. So I see Barbara as my elder, and I am so grateful to have people like her, my helper, Susan Tasinga, and all the folks of her generation that mentored me. Back then, it was a little different than it seems now, anyway. And this kind of study and spiritual path work, it was just not so known as it is today. And then even today, I think we still often skate on the surface. But back then, I don't know what I would have done if I had not been guided somehow to these people who became my teachers and way showers. So Barbara has been on her path for 45 years, and the basis, over 45 years, and the basis of her experience has been the pathwork and Emmanuel. But she has had many exquisite teachers, Wayne Dyer, Osho, Ram Dass, Miriam Williamson, Thich Nhat Hanh, each offering their own viewpoint for personal transcendence. Barbara has created her own viewpoint and her own teachings, which are about surrender, faith, and the miracle that loving and open-heartedness or self-acceptance will create. So I want to welcome Barbara. And you can go to her website to find out more about her and her upcoming teachings and seminars. So welcome, Barbara.
You took my breath away. Thank you. And Darlene, I want to say something. When I teach or when I have sessions, I always start with a prayer. And can I do that with you now and the audience?
Oh, absolutely.
I call what I do communicating with love. So I dedicate our time together, Darlene, to serving love and the divine, which is what you are doing too. I focus my attention on the opening of my heart and on increasing my compassion. My attention, dear God, is to be who I am capable of being. And I ask God to fill my mind with love, so that I might answer with and communicate with love. So I say amen to that, and I hope that that is what our time together will be, communicating with love.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to extend the boundaries of my capacities to love and to open my heart to myself right now as we share this time together.
Thank you. Yes, I totally agree. And I want to quote you. There was something on your website that I thought was really a beautiful thing that you were saying. It says, what I would like to offer anybody who reads this is my belief that while we were in angelic form in spirit, we chose to come into this earth plane to bring love where love was not. For most of us, we thought we had a grand life purpose, but few of us realize and accept that the single purpose of our incarnation is to fall in love with ourselves. I thought that was you know, a very concise and deep way of, you know, speaking to something that I feel like I'm realizing as well.
Well, I think that's how we connected, darling, you know, years later. But the idea for me, I start with the reminder and the remembering that I am the divine spark of God. I am an angel. And once I've come into physical form, the purpose of this incarnation is to bring the forgetting into the moment of now and bring love, the angel's love, into a very, I'm not going to say it, I'm just going to curse, into a very broken world.
Mm-hmm.
So our reason for incarnation is to bring love into the earth plane and into ourselves and to remember we are the light. We're not our lower selves. We're not our negative consciousness. And this I've gotten not only from the guide's teaching, but from especially Emmanuel, because he came like 25 years later, mm-hmm. from the Course in Miracles. From every spiritual teacher, it's all the same. Simply fall in love with yourself. Did I love myself today? Did I say yes where I wanted to say no? Did I say no? And I think this is the issue where I wanted to say yes. So all there is the choice between fear and love. And I guess I'm 86 years old. I get to realize this, the power of that.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Yeah. And yet, you know, in my practice as a helper, I work with many people today who suffer anxiety and debilitating fears and all kinds of addictions, as one of your quotes says, you know, like fear is sort of the universal addiction for all of us. And so I was wondering, like we can invoke the spiritual. Is there another level also, you know, to help us awaken this kind of self-love that you would apply in your work or in your teachings?
Well, I want to go very slowly here because We have to embrace something. Fear is not our enemy. Fear's intent is to bring us home to our own self-loving. Fear is our teacher. So we have to explore what fear is. What is fear telling us? What is it saying? And I help my student dialogue with what I call their tyrannical child. Mm. Because there isn't a person on this planet, Darlene, who hasn't suffered from post-traumatic stress. It's not a joke. Moving from angelhood into that little tiny container, that body, and then all the things that happen to us. So we have to, and I have to honor the experience of that person that comes to me. But the big thing is, and what I see, it's not to build a monument to our history. It's to see how it serves us.
Exactly. Yeah, it feels to me always that it's a kind of a line there that we balance on, you know, but it is kind of for me when I can truly understand and see the history of the child, that helps awaken the self-compassion. When I can remember or somehow recognize and acknowledge this, you know, state of vulnerability or, you know, the desire for love, even though it may have, you know, been coming from, you know, places that twisted or, you know, didn't receive, there's a real beauty and love that we can give to ourselves in seeing who we were in that situation.
I think, and again, I always go slowly because I watch myself. I watched my mind trying to fill up the spaces. We chose our wounding. That's something. It didn't happen by accident. It's not karma. We chose it with the advice of our angels or our guides. That's maybe one of the differences that I bring into my work. Everything that I experienced was a gift. Now, I can go through my own wounding because I've done that and I know it. But every single one of my, what I call my historical woundings, are the things that make my life so beautiful. I was molested as a child when I was 6 years old by a neighbor. I stop and think after I've gone through it and my defenses and the fear and my absolutely need to be vigilant, hyper-vigilant. I'm now a sex therapist because of that. I deal with people who have suffered through what I went through. And I think that is the beginning for me of a new way of helpership, psychiatrist, psychology. And I wish people would hear this. You cannot help anyone if you have not opened your heart to yourself. All suffering comes from self-denial. And there is a difference between pain and suffering. And that's what I learned from Thich Nhat Hanh. Suffering is a choice. It's where we deny ourselves. We let our self-doubt and shame create who we think we are. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. No, that's exactly, I think I learned it from the guide in some sense, but that, you know, they're very much is to me the hard pain and the soft pain, you know, and the hard pain is some kind of judgment or contraction against the reality of the pain that is, you know, in the physical, in the manifestation here. And yet, like you said, you know, all of it, even that can, you know, be what awakens us or brings us, you know, to deeper truth and state of love and recognition of that. So, you know, I like also and totally agree with what you're saying, that we choose it, that, you know, I find oftentimes when I don't understand why something is happening in my life, I'm, you know, not blaming myself or anybody else. I'm just asking, what does this bring up in me? What does it make me feel? And exploring that state in a kind of very open way to try to, you know, recognize that there's some kind of dynamic or pattern here. So
again,
I think
you, what you just said could be a year's study.
Yeah, and I think we have,
you know,
just a few minutes before our break.
So quickly, my training was so different.
Okay,
I must say that, and I almost want to snap my little fingers and say, stop going back to the good old days. I lived, not only did I live in Phoenicia, but I lived the path work. John P. was my therapist.
So we have to wait, wind up for a break, Barbara. So we'll be back shortly to hear more of those differences. And we want to, this is Darlene Rollins with Earthwalk Ways coming to you from BBM Global Network. Welcome back to Earthwalk Ways. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from BBM Global Network. And I'm here talking with Reverend Barbara Azara, who has been one of the leading people in this work of spiritual awakening and evolution that began back in the 50s and 60s. But we have some elders here with us today, and so we're talking to her about her sort of distillation of all of this. So do you remember where we were, Barbara?
I was talking about the difference. And not, excuse me, sometimes my voice goes, not in the difference in our belief, but in the difference of our training.
Ah, yes.
John P. was my therapist, you know, psychological, psychoanalytical therapist. Then I went to graduate school for sexuality. And then John gave me that lecture, the spiritual meaning of sexuality. And I was hooked, and I started going to the lectures. And then when Eva died, I wanted to join the training. At that time, the training was every other weekend for 5 years. Honey, wow. Every other weekend for 5 years. And at the same time, I joined John's training. So I was in Phoenicia 3 weekends a month for 3 years. And then the last 2 weekends only for two weekends a month. And then I lived in Phoenicia. So I ate and swallowed and digested the path work. Mm-hmm. We had to be in a group. We had to study the lectures before we could go into training. And most of our teachers were psychologists. So it was very different. And there was a split then, and I don't need to go into that. But what is the basis of the pathwork training? And for me, it always has been, if I am not present in my own self-loving, then God cannot be present. And that's the basis of my teaching, my relationship to faith, whether it's the 12-step program, which first step and the second step, really, is I turn my life and my will over to God. That is the core of my teaching, darling. What is my relationship to God?
Beautiful. Yeah, and I think, you know, that's sort of how I've distilled it as well, you know, in my journey. And it did start out a little bit, I was bulimic and depressed and, you know, looking for some help with that, you know, psychologically. But also, I had been a seeker from a very young age, and I was definitely looking for a spiritual path. So finding the kind of blend. And I did some core energetics, you know, with Donovan and the transformation program. And I love the embodiment. You know, part of the thing was that I was so, you know, I had a lot of self-hatred. And self-love was, you know, like something that I, you know, took a long time for me to learn in this journey. But I think I've definitely now have learned it in the same way, that it's the main, it's the foundation of everything else. So.
I think it's beautiful. You know, and even now, you just delivered something really touching to me. We all have been wounded. That's the purpose of our adventure. Mm-hmm. But we have to awake from the dream of all we're wounding and honor our experience. Honor it. But there's a difference between pain and suffering. And that I got clearly from Emmanuel. Suffering is where we deny ourselves. Suffering is where we believe in the shame and the guilt. Mm-hmm. Pain is a byproduct of living in a body in this imperfect world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree completely.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, I mean, Emmanuel, I love his quote, self-castigation is not spiritual work. So I remember going to Thich Nhat Hanh because I thought I was going to be a Buddhist, but it didn't really anchor in me. And one of the things in one of the trainings, he said, you therapists with the little red batakas, you're just rehearsing anger. Mm-hmm. And Pat and I looked at each other and said, we didn't even know we were angry till we met John and Core Energetics. So, you know, everybody has their own path to be on. And it's just the commitment and realizing, which the guide always teaches, every time you point your finger out there, take it back. When I am judging in you, I refuse to honor in myself.
Exactly. And there's and so much of this,
okay,
you know.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, were you not done? I'm sorry, I might have talked over you.
No, it doesn't matter. You know, okay. I'm not even going to have an emotional reaction. I'm laughing.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like, you know, that there's just these ways. I mean, again, going back to, you know, this kind of transformation in me, you know, and this was more directly working with the path work, but, you know, there was, you know, this perfectionism and this self-judgment and this, you know, really harsh suffering and very, you know, tangled up and confused. And so I found, you know, like both in the embodiment of our feelings and the movement of the feelings, you know, with the body and the core energetics process and stuff like that, so invaluable for me, because I was like this bundle of energy that had no place to go because I was just like blocked in every, you know, direction.
I understand.
And, yeah. And so what a healing for just that. And then the, you know, specifics, I think, of really working, you know, I think of seeing the self-hatred. That was the second part, that actually it was a workshop with John P. And he just, you know, asked for volunteers. I raised my hand and he had me come up and just start hitting with a tennis racket on the pillow. And the next thing I know, I'm in this full blown rage and I don't even, I wake up a little while into it and I'm wondering to myself, what am I so angry at? And then I realize it's me, you know, and for that, that was like a breakthrough for me. And so, yes, I can understand also that we can recreate this thing. We can keep recycling it. And there is another movement. But I think the first step is we do have to get aware that it's inside of us and what it is.
You know, I hope I'm not interrupting you, but I was just thinking, you and I are the opposites of the same coin. You were working on, if I understood you, where is the hate? I was working on right from the beginning, and that's how Emmanuel became my helper. Where is the love? I was so afraid of loving that when I went to graduate school, I used the lecture, Fear of Loving, 72. For my graduate thesis. And the professor was amazed. Now that was in 79. I think the teachings of the guide and the manual of spirit are unbelievable in their divinity, in their light.
Absolutely.
And that's all I have to say.
No, absolutely. And I was definitely drawn. I mean, part of what drew me to the pathwork was, you know, the introduction to every lecture, the promise, the vision, the light, you know, that was there. But yeah, I was not able to, you know, like the darkness that was surrounding me was, you know, had to be worked through. Yeah. And so, and there was something in me that was carrying me forward.
And, you know, and I just keep taking a big breath. I met Pat. I was in the first year. She was in the third year. But we were such a big community that we were together. And I think the most beautiful thing that I met, my second husband asked Pat if she would be interested in Emmanuel being my helper. Where I was at that time, I said, I don't want a spook for my supervisor. How do you like that goal, you know? But what I learned from Emmanuel, which I never had a helper that had this. Emmanuel didn't have a body, darling. So I couldn't copy anything about him.
Scarf, yeah.
You know, the way they wore their hair. But he used to say, I offer you this with all the love in the universe. Guess what? I started copying that. a very dear friend of mine, and I always worked with my friends and their children and whatever, broke some rules. And she said to me, you know what? When Emmanuel says it, she says, my shoulders drop, my breath is smooth, my jaw is no longer tight. And she said, when you say it, I think you're going to hit me with a brick at the back of my head. And I said, wow. And that was in the early 80s. And I asked Emmanuel, and this is it for me. He says, Barbara, if you haven't noticed, I do not have a body. Therefore, I do not have a personality or fear or behavior that is reactive. Therefore, I don't have a demand or an expectation or a requirement that you receive what I say. Darling, do you know how freeing that was for me?
Yeah, perfect. Oh, that's it, great, Barbara. And I think it's time we're coming up on a
projection. Hello. And I want to tell you the most prideful story I have. When I was pregnant with my son.
Can you hold that one for us? We have a break coming up, Barbara. So
okay.
hold that story.
I love being interrupted.
Sorry. Okay. This is Darlene Rollins coming to you from BBM Global Network, and this is Earthwalk Ways. So welcome back. This is Earthwalk Ways, and I'm your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from BBM Global Network. And I've been talking to Reverend Barbara Zara. You can Google her and find out a lot about her and her upcoming programs. But she was about ready to tell us a story when we had to go to the break. So back to you, Barbara.
How nothing changes. If I could be conscious and take each challenge, you know, I wouldn't have to be 86. I'm reading a book, Aging for Beginners. God bless the man that wrote that book. But I was teaching, and I was pregnant with my son, and I was teaching in a bilingual school. And I was teaching math, and I was teaching 5 + 3 = I hope everybody knows, 8. And I had bottle caps, and I had toothpicks, and I had everything that the children can sense. I did a great job. There goes my ego. And then I called this little boy. I'll never forget his name. I am surprised he is at least not a senator. He was brilliant. And I said, come on up here, Kenneth, and teach it to the class. And, you know, he turned yellow. He was looking at the floor, you know, and I was getting angry. And I finally said to him, the answer is not on the ceiling. I said, I have spent all morning teaching you this. And he looked at me just before he threw up all over me. And he said, and I had a different last name then. He said, Mrs. Gladman, if you had taught it to me, I would have learned it. That and Emmanuel's teachings are the same. You can't teach anything to anybody if the energy behind your teaching does not make the child or the student or whatever feel safe.
Wow, that is such a powerful image. Beautiful.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, no,
but
thank you.
It's taken me from 1958 to 2019 to really ingest that, marinate in that. And I'm going to tell you another story because I'm a storyteller.
Great.
I went to Wayne Dyer when he was still a teacher, a professor in college. And so, you know, Joyce would invite him to her house and we put $2 in a basket. I was getting divorced, and I was telling Wayne how angry I was. Now, this is a big thing in my process. And he said, oh, you have every right to be angry. He said, but you have every right to have diarrhea. Why would you want it? And everybody laughed. And I swallowed that as I swallowed all my anger, darling.
Mm.
It was a premature introjection. That was, and I'm sorry, Wayne is dead and I love him, you know. But we have to know what we're saying to people. It was too advanced for me. And I think,
right.
I think that sometimes happens when we haven't done our own work.
No, I'm completely with you there and really appreciate, you know, the sensitivity in a way, you know, to that, because it's like, I think there are people that come to this work at lots of different levels too.
Right.
And levels of consciousness even, where they're just bringing, you know, like opening up and bringing in, and it, you're right. We have to, it's kind of like, to me, it's a very organic process in some way that you can't jump over. And I try to follow where people are as best I can, in general. But yeah, and to go into the suppression, like you said, or everything, that's kind of like the opposite direction of what we're really trying to do for the healing, I think.
And I think even from our little emails, I think that is the truth that we connected on. You know, I mean, I know of you. I see your emails. I see your flyers. But there is an authenticity about you that I responded to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's different. And that's what I look for when I look for somebody. I'm going to tell you another little story. I went to Est, and I think you're probably too young to even know about Est.
No, I remember Est. I did LifeSpring.
Okay, and I did actualizations. So Stuart Emery is one of the people I always quote. And he once said to me, Barbara, I will always support your excellence, never your shittiness. That was in 1975, before I even met John. So now I have two new people. One is a therapist, one is a helper. You know what I do on Skype? I just hold them in their longing to be held, without judging it, without words, on Skype. It is so incredible. We all need a hug.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
I'm going to tell you one other story. I want to mention his name, Dr. Henry Kellerman. I mean, he was the one person in a body that taught me beyond the spiritual. Do you know what I'm saying? He was a psychoanalyst, teacher, you know, absolutely on the highest level. And I went to him when I was getting my second divorce. I'm a great teacher of relationships, let me tell you. And I was sitting in his office and I said to him, Henry, it's a good thing that you're not good looking, because otherwise I would be in love with you. Just out of graduate school, just out of my training, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. The witness to me was saying, oh, my God, you're in transference, you're in projection. You know, now you're going to have to pay. And he didn't say a word, darling. Mm. And he came over to me, and he stood in front of me. He took my hands. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And he said to me, you don't think I'm good looking? We both got so hysterical. So I don't, yeah, you're laughing. It's like, what is important is the reality. And in that moment, he really thought I didn't think he was good looking or whatever that meant to him. And he touched me with his honesty.
Yeah.
And he taught me that you are who you are. You are not the rules of your curriculum. And I hope that makes sense.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, there's for this kind of authenticity, you know, that's one of the things that I also have found most available, you know, in kind of pathwork circles and stuff. But I think it does go back to what we've been pointing to as well, because for me, the freedom to be me, right, had to come from within me first, and a kind of humility, you know, that breaks through the pride and shame. And that's certainly not perfect, but, you know, like compared to where I was, you know, completely bound up, you know, I appreciate and find that, you know, this is what we are longing for with each other. And I think the guide says it this way, and we've been using it in some of the pathwork programs that we've been offering lately. You know, he says that, you know, the greatest gift we can give each other, you know, is to just really be ourselves. And so there's a way that to have our own self-judgment, you know, that's what gets in the way of that. And so to find the self-love and the self-respect, and then we can, you know, give it to each other. And like you said, I mean, I think you say something about fear being, you know, really the final, you know, addiction on the planet, and creating, you know, sort of all of what we're dealing with right now in the world as well.
But fear is not our enemy. Fear is our greatest teacher.
It's our greatest longing.
But we close our mind to that.
Right.
Oh, my God. And I lived in Phoenicia. You know, Barbara Brennan lived next door to me. Judith Saley, God bless her. Jack, all of those people. And for me, the joke was, the guides, it wasn't a joke, you know, every time you point your finger to someone, stop and bring it back to yourself, loving you.
Right. Right. And I mean, I'm just reading from your website on that, but I certainly feel like, yeah, the answer to all of these things has to be love, right? So instead of pointing a finger or judging anything, like when I maybe discern or say that, you know, fear is something, you know, that's binding us, it's like the only thing that can unbind that, you know, is to go embrace it, right? And
that's right. You know, yeah. I start every lecture, not lecture, but every retreat that I give. And I'm just going to say something. I'm bigger in Europe and in Brazil than I ever was in America or in my own pathwork. Even though I was on the trustees, even though I made the cards with, you know, the card, what do you call those? Those quote cards. But I had to learn that what others thought of me cannot keep me quiet. So I'm thrilled now that you're asking me to discuss this with you. I used to be so quiet, nobody will believe it. But that was one of the things. You want to do past life, you want to do breath work, you know. One of the things that I believed in was my own persecution.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I kept quiet to be safe. I can't be quiet anymore. So I thank you for this opportunity. I teach very differently. I have, God, I'm teaching children. I married a couple, performed a marriage ceremony like 20 years ago. Their son is coming to me now. So I have a continuity in my practice.
Right,
because
beautiful.
It's not about, oh God, healing.
So
the
I'm
going
to need to interrupt you again, Barbara.
Living.
Sorry to.
Just
we got a break again.
Another
here
break.
Coming up.
Okay.
So yeah, thank
I'll
you.
Breathe.
So, and this is Darlene Rollins coming to you from BBM Global Network on the program Earthwalk Ways, and we're having Barbara Azzara with us. So, welcome back to Earthwalk Ways. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, and we're coming to you from BBM Global Network. And we've been talking with Reverend Barbara Azzara. And so I think we were interrupting her again, so I'm going to just turn it back to you, Barbara, and see where we're going to go from here.
Guess what? I don't remember.
That's fine.
I really don't remember. So as my mother used to say to me, if you don't remember, it really isn't important.
Right,
which
exactly.
I love. It's a great exactly. spiritual teaching. But I do want to say something. I teach something called a master class in the anatomy of love. And I have two quotes here that I would like to read to you if I can, if that's all
yeah.
right.
Sure, love it.
One is from the guide, Lecture 250. You live and move and have your being in a universe that consists of such tenderness, such love, such personal care of the living God, of the eternal presence and all that is, that it simply defies description. You are surrounded by a universe in which there is nothing to fear, no matter what the momentary appearances may be. I keep that on my desk. The other one is from Emmanuel, which to me is always simpler for some reason, or less wordy. There is nothing in this universe that you have not created. There is nothing in this universe that you have not called to you. And there is nothing in the universe that you are not authorized to create for yourself. I love that. And this is the most important part. It will happen the moment you are willing to fall in love with yourself. And that's my key. Did I love myself today? Did I go for a swim? Did I tell you I didn't want to talk to you because I was tired, or did I make up some story that would make you feel happy? I just feel fall in love with yourself. Did you love yourself today is my daily review. So the combination of the guide and the manual has strengthened. And this is what I remembered that I was going to tell you. I am going to do one workshop on sexuality. And while I was preparing for it, and I know all the lectures and I've read them and everything, I'm almost, I don't know if I can say it, but anyway, I truthfully believe that when I'm watching how I'm judging myself, that people are looking for God when they're having sex. It's like when many people have an orgasm, they say, oh my God. So while we're in a body, the only way we can really surrender to the life force is by making love. And that has become what I want to teach, life as an orgasm. How do you
Beautiful.
Like that?
Love it. And right in line. I mean, and for me, a lot of the way that I find to enact a lot of this is really to get into our sensory, you know, like our, you know, I do a lot with nature too. And I think nature is a very sensual and sensory, you know, invitation for being in a body. And I think all pleasure, You know, everything that we're seeking really, you know, comes from being our real self in the body, right, in each moment. So it sounds delicious.
Well, you know, but this is the whole thing. My whole life, I started with core energetics, but then I moved to the spiritual and the heart and the mind and the low self and negative, you know, intentionality. Now mm-hmm. I'm in the body. You know, my body has served me. And where haven't I treated my body as a temple?
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you there. And it's hard because we have, you know, to me, this inner split that, you know, like looks at our body, judges in the mirror by some other standards or whatever, you know, or we go in and we feel our distress, our pain, our suffering, because that's where it lives, is in the body. So we start, you know, feeling into the body and we immediately try to avoid it by, you know, thinking, you know, or, you know, distracting ourselves in various ways. So it's
distracting ourselves. As
right.
Another story. When my husband died, the weird thing, so I know what my lesson is, all three of my husbands died. So there was something, in fact, one man from Serbia said to me, "Don't tell people like that. You'll never get another husband." But I know what that was about.
Yeah.
I know that I had to learn that I was not alone.
Uh-huh.
And there's a song by Andrea Bocelli. I don't know if you know him, but he's Italian. And there's a song that is called Sono Qui. And it really says, I am here. And when I first started listening to that song, I would think about my husband, you know. But then it turned into God. I am not alone, and that was my lesson that I had to learn, to surrender to my fear that if I needed something, I would be annihilated or betrayed. They were not easy lessons to lose what I loved, and that is another lesson that I'm here to teach. You cannot love if you're afraid of loss. And guess what, darling? Another quote. All fear is the fear of loss.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. And I feel like, you know, sort of the places that are often still, you know, alive in me from these, you know, I'm holding them now in the space of loving and stuff, but it's often, you know, loss and or fear, right? You know, so.
That's all there is.
Yeah.
That's all there is. And that's the orgasm. And I mean that. I mean, it is so brilliant, but it took me 86 years to realize it. So letting go. The surrender to another human being without the fear that they are going to betray you or whatever happens in our human relationships. Oh, what a beautiful breath in. And that's, I have to tell you, I'm going to give you my secret. I've been practicing. I practice breathing in God and breathing out fear.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing in God. And now it's changed to I breathe in God and I breathe out love. And now I'm contemplating at 86, I breathe in and I breathe out. And I am praying that one day, very gently and very easily, I will remember it's time to go home and I won't breathe in.
Wow.
So thank you for letting me. I don't care if nobody else hears me. I needed to say that.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me, Barbara. And hopefully maybe we can do this again sometime. But
I hope we can.
Yeah, so for sure. So we got to wind up for our program here. So thank you again. And this is Darlene Rollins. This is Earthwalk Ways coming to you from BBM Global Network. Join us in 2 weeks.
This has been Earthwalk Ways with your host, Darlene Rollins. Listen each week and connect to the natural world in a shamanic and mystical way. Here on Darlene Rollins, Earthwalk Ways.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.